for January 10th, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflow.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. We've gotten through a full week of 2017, a week and a half.
We survived
2017. So far, so good. So far, so good on 2017. There's news out there about things happening, and they didn't happen to us. So far, so good.
Our heart goes out to everyone.
Everyone that has a bad 2017 so far. I'm so sorry that you've had a bad 2017. I've been okay.
Well, school started.
I get to go talk to my students.
It's freezing outside.
It is really cold outside.
Almost as cold as my heart.
You still have short pants on. You'll be fine. You know it's cold when Chip actually puts on pants.
Actually puts on a shirt.
Must be winter in the Midwest. Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. And I still this week, even though I went to school, I still got a chance to go to the movie theater two times this week. And I saw two brand new movies. The first one is Hidden Figures.
And tell me about this.
Oh, man. This is a great movie. You would love this movie. Our listeners would love this movie. This is the story, a true story, of the African-American women who did the math for NASA in the 1960s. All the calculations of how the astronauts were going to get into space and, way more importantly, get back safely. They were the ones doing the math. They were called the computers. This is an age before mainframe computers.
And was this based on a book?
This is based on a book by Margot Lee Shetterly, and I would really like to get this book and get it read in the next couple of weeks, because this is a very intriguing story. A hidden story, a story that we did not know about because that was just a part of the times.
Sure, sure.
These ladies, there's about 30 of them in this story, but it focuses on three main characters. They are in the basement of the dilapidated building at the NASA campus, and they are doing this work, genius level work.
The calculations.
Doing the calculations. They are called the computers. They are doing the computing.
And tell me, this was before they started bringing in the beginning part of computers?
Yes. Part of the story is that NASA brings in their first IBM mainframe, this giant room full of computer. There's a funny scene that they bring in this giant machine, and it's too big. It won't fit through the door. So they have to tear down a wall to bring in the computer.
And if you remember earlier computing times, you needed an amazing amount of air conditioning to make those things work because they were hot.
That's right. This is the punch card first level computers, a room full of computing systems that needed a room full of people to operate. And the ladies from the basement are the ones who get a chance to be the operators of this computer.
And so they're the first computer programmers for NASA, too.
Yes.
Oh, how cool is that?
This is a great story.
I look forward to seeing this.
You really will enjoy this story. I love the music in this movie. Pharrell Williams made this music for this story that feels 60s-ish, because it's a story about Florida in the 1960s, but it also feels modern. It's a toe-tapping music that I might want to pick up the soundtrack for this.
Really?
Yes, it was that good.
Did you see anything else this week?
I also went to the movie theater and saw Sing.
My goodness, you are like on fire right now, aren't you?
It must have still been Christmas break for a little bit of the last couple of days. Sing is the latest movie from Illumination Studios. You might know them from The Minions.
This is animated, computer animated.
Computer animated. This is the Minions company, and boy, are they hanging their hat on those characters. Those characters are not in this movie, but they are in the preview. They are in the little short, it wasn't really a short, the little intro before the movie.
This is American Idol, but with computer kids.
Pigs and rabbits and giraffes and
slugs
and hippopotami. It's a family film geared more toward the younger parts of the family, just like the Minions is. I don't particularly enjoy the Minions as an adult human looking at it, and I like this one enough. It's a little bit odd. it's a little bit European. This is a European company, and their point of view on story and plot is a little bit different from an American film.
A lot of wine drinking.
There's probably a lot of wine drinking amongst the animals. I'm trying to think of a scene where they were drinking wine, but probably it's in there. It's a fun story. It's a fun animated tale for your children, basically. Mm-hmm. And they understand talking animals. I don't like talking animals.
They enjoy butts moving. There's a lot of butts moving around.
That's what the Minions certainly started off with.
Makes them happy. All right, so you got to also see something off of HBO films.
Yeah, Saturday night, HBO decided that they were going to show us their documentary, Bright Lights. This is the story of Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds. This was recorded in 2014, and it was scheduled to air in March of 2017, but because of the untimely death of Carrie Fisher and her mother in that 24 hours on December 27th and 28th, they decided to air this weekend.
Now, we're dealing with Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds, mom and daughter. They lived next to each other.
For decades. They live next door to each other in what they called a compound in two separate houses for decades. And they had a very close relationship, a very touching. This is 95 minutes that we get a view of their lifestyle, but very touching lifestyle where we, as the audience, we might love one or both of them from afar, you know, Star Wars. But knowing them on this personal level in this movie is really touching.
You're also seeing maybe a little bit of the generational differences of them. Obviously, Debbie Reynolds came in. She came in, you know, as a poor girl from El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
Very much of a Hollywood person of the day. Everything's always happy.
She always puts on that happy face in every scene that she's out in public. And then we get to see her real feelings in the other scenes in this documentary.
Really? You do?
You do. She does not put on that same face all the time in this documentary.
Much more reserved. Much more reserved than Carrie Fisher is very much a product of the 70s. Everything is, listen, here I am, and everything's on the table, baby.
And she is who she is in this entire documentary.
I gotta keep it real.
She does not fake any part of this.
Okay.
Carrie Fisher is who she is.
But that's a very different view of the world. And also, she grew up not as, this person from El Paso. She grew up as a
Hollywood
person
royalty.
In Hollywood, yeah. Who was had opportunities to experience a lot of stuff.
Yeah, 1950s Hollywood royalty, when they had a baby and it was Carrie Fisher. Carrie Fisher was on the cover of the magazine 2 hours after she was born. That's the lifestyle that she lived for 60 years.
Okay.
Give
me an insight that you did not know that you got from this.
I knew how close they were. I knew how they fought like daughter and mother would. Mm-hmm. and how much they loved each other on a real deep level. To live next door to your mother for a couple of decades and to take care of her in this way is so touching. What I didn't know was how much the relationship with Carrie's father, Eddie Fisher, was so strained, and that they got to rekindle a little bit of that relationship before he died. In this documentary, we see Eddie Fisher right before he passes away, and he's in dire straits. He's had a rough life, made mm-hmm. some destructive choices, just like Carrie Fisher did.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a chance to have a relationship after all of the trouble in their lives. That was really touching.
Now, Steve also sent me a through Google Hangouts and said, hey, Chip, you're going to have to watch this program on Netflix. We're going to talk about it.
You love it when I do that.
Oh, he just throws it right to me.
I'm sending homework to Chip because school started, so I need to send homework to people. This one's called Travelers. It's on Netflix. It's a science fiction story. It's a 12-episode TV show.
It's a TV show. I will tell you that. It's a television show.
Definitely a television show. It originally aired in Canada, and then Netflix picked it up as an exclusive. You can only find it on Netflix. And it's about this group of people who are sent
The world is ending, baby.
Yes.
And they're coming back from the future to the past.
And their consciousness is what's being sent. Not their whole body. Just their consciousness is being sent into the bodies of people in the present so that they can fix something that once went wrong.
All right,
That's the story of Quantum Leap, isn't it?
Well, they also have... All right, so the people they're picking to come back from the future to the past are people who would have died. They were scheduled to die, or they knew their death was going to be at that moment.
The bodies that they are inhabiting are people who, in the historic record, died at that moment. So instead of them dying, they're being inhabited by these people from the future.
And to show you, this is certainly not a foolproof system. One of the doctors who comes back basically inhabits a special needs person.
Because in the historic record, they looked at Facebook. And in Facebook, she had created a fake persona. And 40 years from now, that's all that was left of this person was this fake persona on Facebook. So they went, oh, this is a good person that we can go into her body.
And so this person could barely read a children's book when the person from the future came to the past and took over the body. But it's interesting, you also are taking on some of the challenges they had. While mentally she's all there, there were a number of seizures she was having.
There were some physical problems because the person from the future is inhabiting this brain that is not capable, and it doesn't work out very well.
Sure, and there's another gentleman who had took over a person who had a heroin addiction. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this person is trying to maintain themselves too. And also, you don't really know all the person coming from the future doesn't know enough about the person's life. You're supposed to assume their life.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, where's your locker? You know, is this your wife?
Right.
What do you normally call her? You've got all this surveillance stuff. But you don't, it's not perfect.
Right.
So you kind of have to pigeon your way in there.
I like this very much.
You did.
Did you enjoy it enough to finish the 12 episodes?
No, this is 12 episodes, just so you know. They're 45 minutes each.
Mm-hmm.
I got through 6 of them.
That's pretty good.
Well, you told me to watch it.
I told you to watch 30 minutes of it. Come on now.
Steve required me to watch this. Anyway, I got through 6 episodes of it. There's a lot of fluff.
Mm-hmm. There's it is a TV show.
I can see that they could have... this is certainly not on the Netflix level.
Right.
But you know, Netflix wants to bring out a lot of material.
That was their promise of 2016, was they were going to bring out something every week. Every week of 2016, they were going to bring out something so that we felt we were getting value for our $9.99 a month.
So what they would have done if they would have created it as a Netflix series is they would have taken out a whole bunch of the fluff.
Mm-hmm.
It would have tightened it up a little bit.
Right.
But since it's written as a television show, and if you have interest in time travel and this type of story, I don't think you're going to be disappointed. This is fine.
If you're a fan of Quantum Leap, if you miss Quantum Leap from the 90s, this is Quantum Leap for the 21st century.
I never watched Quantum Leap.
We have to not talk anymore then, because I can't speak to you without knowledge of Quantum Leap.
And I kept thinking, who is this guy starring there? Because I was going, that's not David Duchovny.
Eric McCormick.
Okay.
Who is the star of Will and Grace, which is being rebooted for 2017.
It is?
Yes, sir. And who was in Will and Grace? Debbie Reynolds.
Really?
Yes, she was. She played the mother of Grace on that sitcom, and she's not going to do it in 2017, but that sitcom is being rebooted.
She'll come back as an animated character.
They could CGI her in, just like they do with Carrie Fisher.
Yeah. It means hope.
That's all she'll say is hope. This is a good show. It's not a great show. If you like time travel as much as I do, if you liked Quantum Leap as much as I did.
And they've got to save the world, baby.
Save the cheerleader, save the world. This is a good show. It's called Travelers. It's on Netflix exclusively, as long as you're not in Canada.
All right. So I've been busy. And so I really haven't had an opportunity to do too much. But my wife and I sat down. We watched Horrible Bosses from 2011.
Nice.
And that is a very funny movie. It's got Kevin Spacey in it. It's got Jennifer Aniston in it. It's got a beautiful cast. Jason Bateman's in it. And these horrible bosses, the plan is these three guys have got to kill them. So they go to Jamie Foxx, and Jamie Foxx is our gentleman who's going to teach them how to kill them. Jamie Foxx is very funny in this. this is a silly, funny movie. This is definitely of its time where the people kind of fumble over each other and they're not self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason Bateman plays the same character he plays in many of his movies.
Yes.
As the kind of smirky boss who is straight. He's the straight man to the other comedy that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I recommend this. And I got it off iTunes. And I bought a few of these rentals. So I've got a few more that I'll have to bring out over the next few weeks. But anyway, Horrible Bosses, recommend it. Maybe I'll end up watching the second part.
Do you think that you'll catch the second part?
If it was on, I would watch it.
Okay.
Because the first one, this is a very funny, you know, one's being sexually harassed. And of course, the two guys are just looking at him like, oh, really? Because Jennifer Aniston's the
sexual harasser.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah. And then she did this to me. And they're like, oh, really?
Yeah, it's Jennifer Aniston. She can be your friend.
And Kevin Spacey plays the meanest of mean guys. He's played this character three times in three different movies.
Okay.
He's the best at being the jerkiest of the jerk boss.
All right.
And to give you an example of this, Jason Bateman's character worked a weekend when his grandmother was passing away, his Gam Gam. And anyway, so he did not get the promotion that he was looking for. So he looks to Kevin Spacey, who's the boss, and says, well, my Gam Gam died and you wouldn't let me off the weekend. You told me I had to be here. So Kevin Spacey, being the jerk as he is, he just burst out laughing and he said, well, I'm so sorry you didn't get to see your grandmother, but you called her Gam Gam. And through the entire conversation, it is just like, could I be a bigger jerk?
Okay. So that's a big recommend for you. I have not seen this movie. I had it on my list in 2011 to watch, and here it is almost 6 years later.
Well, there you go.
And I still have not seen this movie. So we'll put that on our list of Chip recommends.
What's coming up this week?
Coming this week, we've got one called Monster Trucks.
Monster Trucks!
Every movie that I've seen this week in the movie theater, this trailer has played before every movie.
This Friday.
Yeah.
Monster Trucks!
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a movie that I'm going to pay money to watch.
This is about, this is real life with cartoons, right?
Yeah, this is a monster, a space alien of some sort, inhabits a truck.
He's kind of a squid-looking guy.
Yeah, and the hero drives the truck and has adventures with his friend, the creature.
This is Herbie the Love Bug.
Yes.
Sort of like.
Yes. The children, especially young boys who love trucks and monsters, will probably enjoy cars or firemen
and any type of, this is definitely all up their alley.
This is built for those kids. That is not me and it's not my kids. So we're going to skip that one probably this week. There is a movie called Sleepless that's opening. This is back to Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx?
He is a cop who has a connection to the underworld and his son gets kidnapped. So this is a gritty cop story. I don't think that we're going to be remembering this one when it comes to our review of 2017. I think this is just another gritty cop movie.
Well, there you go. If you enjoy, I think it takes place in Vegas. Okay. Vegas, baby. So if you enjoy that, I'm sure you'll enjoy this film.
My wife loves all those gritty cop movies. As long as it's not dirty cop movies, she loves all of those, and she might very well take me to see that one. The big one, I don't know, maybe the big one this week, is called Silence.
Shh.
Yeah, this is written, produced, and directed by Martin Scorsese. It features Andrew Garfield, Adam Driver, and Liam Neeson.
So you're going to have Spider-Man starring in this. You'll have Kylo Ren starring in. And then you're going to have that big lion guy from the Narnia movies.
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Oh, Qui-Gon Jinn, that other guy.
Yes.
There you go. He died. And then came back.
He died.
This are you one, an angel?
This one is going to be a real deep look at religion and faith. It's a story of two 17th century Jesuit priests who go into Japan and face a real test of their faith.
It sounds very much, and by all means, I'm not trying to dismiss this, it sounds very much like St. Patrick going to... Mm-hmm. Ireland and what he was able to do. This is the version where a group ends up going to Japan.
Martin Scorsese is so good at making these thought-provoking films like mm-hmm. this. He is... He is.
Well, that's his goal. Yeah. He goes, I make one for the commercial and one because I want to make it.
Exactly.
And this is the one he wants to make.
This is the one that he's probably been saving up to make for at least a couple of years. And so I look forward to seeing this one. You found one called Vince Giordano, There's a Future in the Past.
This is about time travel, right?
I don't think this one's actually about time travel because you found it. If I had found it, it would be about time travel.
All right, so this is a band leader who wants to put together a group of musicians
mm-hmm.
who want to play music from the 20s and 30s. And obviously, they're having a lot of fun doing it.
Oh,
it
yeah.
sounds very much like it would go to your local community theater,
mm-hmm.
like for our area, maybe the Hemmings. In Chicago, we got Thousand Aurora, it's got Paramount and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they would come and they were going to play for you and they're going to play to the audience and they're going to recreate as if you were in that time and kind of just kind of have a playful time playing the music. And if you are a person who was very young and mastered your instrument, there's probably not many opportunities where you get to go travel around and be as playful as you are right now. Maybe you could play it, you know, part of a 2 or 3 man group. But this is like the whole big band type thing.
20s and 30s jazz music. A collection of 60,000 original arrangements.
There you go.
That's well, mind-boggling.
If you think of Cab Calloway
mm-hmm.
And stuff like that, you know, they really played with the standards of the time. And so anyway, this looks like a lot of fun. This is a documentary. It's a limited release. But, you know, if I saw it on, I'd probably watch it.
There you go. What I'm definitely going to watch next week, we will definitely talk about the new Netflix, hey, we're going to give you something every week so that you give us $9.99 a month. This week, we have Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events is coming out on Netflix.
Oh, yes. I love this. I like the original movie.
The original movie was 2004 with Jim Carrey.
Yes, right. I thought he did a good job. I love the music of that also. Still do today. And I like the presentation of it. This has Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris is our Count Olaf in this version.
And if you don't know the story, we have Count Olaf who are inheriting these three kids. The boy, the girl, and the baby. That's mm-hmm. what we need to know.
Yep.
And it seems like they're always trying to be killed. And it could be by...
I don't think they're trying to be killed. I think that they're being put in harm's way in all sorts of unfortunate series of events. And
Count Olaf may be part of them or maybe not.
That's right. I look forward to this. I love Neil Patrick Harris. Who he has become since being Doogie Howser is fascinating.
So family flair with sort of a dark humor to it.
Yeah, kind of like a Roald Dahl story. The original books, which I did read the first book this week to prepare for my viewing of this,
okay.
It's got that family wholesomeness to it, but that dark corner around there too. Yeah.
Throw a little Tim Curry in there. Not Tim Curry.
Yeah, Tim Curry was the narrator on the audiobook.
And Tim Burton
and
too.
Tim Burton too. Yeah.
So you get a little bit of that. In fact, let's go ahead and move to our next part of this where we talk about this is on Netflix, by the way.
This is coming out on Netflix on Friday. They are gonna release the first 8 episodes, which they're calling season 1, and that covers the first 2 books. But yeah, we can move on to our book of the week, which is A Series of Unfortunate Events by Lemony Snicket.
Now, this came out, what is it,
1999. Back okay. in the 20th century.
So my children, this would have been perfect for my oldest daughter, mm-hmm. been perfect for your oldest son.
Right.
My daughter, I tried reading these to her. She did not like these.
They're so dark.
And I love them. In fact, I had a great time reading. I think I read it to my youngest as a baby.
Yeah.
Because the stories always start out the same. They're like, well, if you want to have a good time, maybe pick something
maybe
else.
Maybe choose a different book because this is going to be a dark tale.
It certainly is not going to be happy.
Right.
The other thing I enjoy most about it is that he gives definitions in it.
And so
you'll come to something and he'll say...
And he'll explain that vocabulary term for you.
That's right. It could be a scary event. And by scary event, I mean blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. It's so well written. It's so fun. They're definitely geared toward a younger audience, mm-hmm. but that younger audience that's into dark stories.
Now, I think I read the first 2 or 3 of these because after reading Harry Potter,
mm-hmm.
You keep looking for stuff. And this was like the a perfect kind of follow-up. Certainly, you know, fast enough read for a young person.
Yes. Font size is very large on this copy of the book that I have here on the desk.
And not too difficult. And the stories kind of move along a grand story. Mm-hmm. And they would come out, I guess, yearly? Because they had maybe more than one a year. They had 13 books ultimately. And right. I remember when the final one came out.
There are 13 books in the series, and the Netflix series is going to go through all 13 of those books. Season 1 is books 1 and 2, mm-hmm. 2 episodes per book.
I don't know how it ultimately ends, because I never finished reading the series. But I can tell you that there was a profound appreciation for our author's use of language in the book, because he certainly paints the picture right.
And how interesting is it that this is one of those books where the author is not the same as the name on the book? Lemony Snicket is not a human being.
What?
That is the pen name of American novelist Daniel Handler.
Well, he's saving that name for his big thing.
Right.
Like Stan Lee did.
But he's writing this book in the narrator language of this Lemony Snicket character. That character does show up in the story, and that character does show up in the Netflix series.
Well, there you go. There
played
you
by
go.
Patrick Warburton.
All right.
I'm ready for this. I love Netflix. I'm so glad that I have access to Netflix and that they keep pumping out this good stuff. I have high expectations for this one, too.
Well, I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed reading a few of the books, but my children didn't have interest in them. I'm glad we talked about them. If you have not read these or had one read to you, there's a lot of playful words here. I highly recommend it, especially if you have younger children who will sit down and listen to you. But there is a darkness to it. Mm-hmm. And there's a cloud over every story. So if the wink comes across and your child will enjoy the wink that comes to them, man, they'll eat it up.
I think my 10-year-old would certainly appreciate this story. I think he's going to like this movie on Netflix.
Oh, good. Well, tell me a little bit more. What's going on?
Well, we get to our appetite, our app of the week. And this week, speaking of reading, one of the things that people have been talking about all week is their New Year's resolutions. If one of your New Year's resolutions is to read more, first of all, good for you.
Good for you.
Secondly, I have a way for you to do it. It's called Goodreads. It's a social network.
It reads good.
For readers. This is my social network of all of my friends who like to read and like to write reviews for the books that we've read. It was acquired by Amazon in April of 2013, so it's a part of the Amazon
family.
You know, Alexa could certainly do something with
Alexa. Tell me about Goodreads.
But I list every book that I read on Goodreads. I look at the recommendations of all of my friends social network.
Your feeling of accomplishment.
I get my feeling of accomplishment, and I get good recommendations for the next thing to read as a result.
And I think that's very helpful, because if you go to the Amazon store, if you like a certain book, movie, whatever it is, mm-hmm. there's typically some other recommendations to it.
And they're pretty good.
And you know, that's maybe an algorithm that's kind of working that. Now, if you go to Goodreads, you probably get an algorithm, but you also can see what your network is doing.
What your friends are reading and reviewing. And if you have similar tastes to another human being on this planet, if they recommend something, you mm-hmm. might like it too.
Well, it's very similar to, if you know, I'm thinking music lists. Mm-hmm. You go to Pandora, they kind of create the music list for you. You're not really picking songs out there. You can get a reasonable music list right there. But, you know, having a DJ or a person who knows music put it together, maybe you can get a little bit richer sound or mm-hmm. deeper sound, or maybe it's not as good. My point is, Goodreads seems to kind of mix that both up in a good way.
Yep.
You get both opportunities there.
Yeah, I really like Goodreads. I really like listing all of
read
my books
good.
There so that I know what I've read and what I haven't read and what I would like to read. There's three lists: what I've read, what I'm currently reading, and what I would like to read. And my like to read list keeps growing. I add stuff mm-hmm. to that every week. My what I have currently read is slowly growing. You know, I can't read too fast.
And, well, that's where you get the broader view of the world. I mean, you can go visit the world, which we'd all like to do, but you also can read about it, and you can live 1,000 lives. What can you say?
That's a great New Year's resolution. Let's all resolve to read more books in 2017. Brings us to our news. It's the first week of January.
There you go. What happens the first week of January, Steve?
The annual Consumer Electronics Show happens in Las Vegas
the first week of January.
Well, this year happens to be the 50th annual Consumer Electronics Show. So this is the show of all of the gadgets and technology that are going to come to us at the local store in the next 3 to 5 years.
3 to 5 years. So they're not really introducing new products there. They're introducing the test products.
Concepts, the ideas of what technology is going to look like in 3 to 5 years.
So what did we find out?
Well, this year, a lot of what we saw at the Consumer Electronics Show was how we are going to interact with our technology. All of the AI.
Let me go ahead and say, Alexa.
What did we learn from the Consumer Electronics Show? It's all Alexa. There's so many Alexa products this year. Alexa has gotten there first.
And we need to clarify. That is Amazon.
Amazon. So back to Amazon.
The Amazon Echo, which is the competitor to the Google Home.
Correct.
Okay, but it seemed to be integrated into about everything.
Right. The Alexa system is actually just on the Amazon Echo. It is a separate thing that we are seeing as a result of the Amazon Echo, but Alexa is being integrated into a slew of products, according to the Consumer Electronics Show.
And on the grand scheme, it's kind of like Tony Stark's Jarvis.
Yes.
Okay. It's
an AI that lives in your space that you can talk to, ask it questions, and have it do stuff for you.
So if you have a phone, which most of us have smartphones, many of us do, if you have Siri or you have a Android version, you could use OK Google.
Right.
And then if you had a Windows version of something, Cortana.
Cortana.
But anyway, this is the one that seemed to come out a few years before the others.
Mm-hmm.
That may be the reason why it's integrated in all this, but you know, do you think it's going to be that difficult to put in Siri in it, or put in Cortana in it, or put in Google Home in it?
I think Siri has been struggling since the day that Siri was integrated into the iPhone. I think that Cortana has been struggling because the Windows phone never really took off.
And people, are you using it on a Windows-based machine?
I don't use Cortana on my Windows 10 machine. It's there. I don't use Siri on my Mac either.
I do a little bit.
It's there, but I don't use it.
I usually ask it the same thing 4 or 5 times and then go to my search engine and look for it.
And go to Google, yeah. Yeah, that's the frustrating part about Siri. I don't have an Alexa device in my house. I have a lot of friends who do. They really think that this is the best of the AI right now.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that the Google Assistant is the one that's going to come out the winner.
I don't think there's going to be much difference between them right now.
Right.
Well, and it could happen over the next few years where you start getting the divide.
Right.
And then you start getting the adoption. And I think that's the important part. But what I can tell you from Alexa and from Google Home, it seems that being able to speak at an everyday voice, to be able to ask a question and then have it pop back to you and answer is nice.
It's really nice. When it works, it's great. When it doesn't work, it's very frustrating. And
if you want to know what frustrating is, start asking your Siri iPhone something.
Try to find a hotel that you're sitting in the street next to and it doesn't find the hotel.
Oh, you remember my trip to Minneapolis?
I do remember our trip to Minneapolis. That was very frustrating for you.
It's right there. Fine. I can see it. Yeah. I can see it right here.
There's one in Kansas City.
That's right. Thank you.
There's a lot of new interaction with automobiles on the horizon.
With their emotional way of working with you.
Right.
What you're going to have is the one that cries all the time. Steve's here again.
The real emotion robots are coming. There's so many
Maybe
things.
The lemony stick-it version.
This is not going to go well for you. Yes. What's your AI trying to tell you? There's lots of stuff coming out of the Consumer Electronics Show.
There's a crash coming. And by crash, I mean your car will be hitting the car in front of you.
Thanks for explaining that to me.
Lemony Snicket.
Lemony Snicket AI. There's lots of fun stuff. If I had all the money in the world, I found two computers that I like in the Consumer Electronics Show this year. One is a triple screened laptop. So your laptop opens like you would think of a laptop, and then two other screens fold out to the left and right. So you've got three screens.
Somehow that just seems...
Like overkill?
Oh my goodness. It just seems like...
Have you ever used a computer with two monitors?
Yes.
It's awesome.
Oh, I agree. It's awesome. In fact, I saw on Woot, which is sort of Amazon's...
stepbrother that has all the discounted stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, they had the monitors, and they were for sale. They're 27-inch monitors, and they're the curved ones. You could get three of them, and it would be like $350.
Yeah.
And I kept going, well, you know, I have an office. I use
Flight Simulator. I could simulate some things.
But, I mean, that's amazing. Uh-huh. Three 27-inch monitors hooked up together. Uh-huh. My goodness, the world could be available to me.
You can get so much more done, Chip.
Probably not.
You'd probably be three times more distracted by the stuff that's on your screen.
Exactly. The idea of focusing kind of goes away. Right. Anyway, two screens is incredibly useful. Especially for most work, you have a workstation and then you have your side station that you keep all the other stuff.
Tools on one screen and the project that you're working on the second screen. There's so many things that you could do with two monitors.
An artist works on one screen and on the other, you're right. The tools are all right there. Yeah. So, yes.
Yeah, a laptop that can do that is intriguing. That's from Razer. Razer also rolled out a projector that you can hang on your ceiling and give yourself a more immersive moment. You're still using a computer, you're still using a monitor, but around the monitor you're seeing an image from the projector so that you get a real immersive lifestyle into whatever you're doing. Remember, Razer's...
You can say, son, go step on the start button.
Right. Remember, Razer is...
The start button, it wasn't there. This is Windows 8. Where's the start button?
Razer is more of a gaming company.
We need to upgrade.
So they are looking at immersive into gaming more than Windows 10. But you get
the
idea.
Just step on the start button.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for a fully immersive. Speaking of which, virtual reality, which was the buzzword of the 2016 Consumer Electronics Show, really was not around as much this year. Augmented reality is more the buzzword this year.
Isn't that what happens when you drink a few beers?
A lot of things happen. One thing that I look forward to is the idea of taking my reality, my things that I see with my eyeballs, and adding additional information to it.
And that's, if we could think about it conceptually, that would be maybe your emails on the wall that you can go and you can see that's available. Maybe your
Skype
or something. Maybe it's on a different, like a picture or something.
And your TV isn't a TV. It's just a square in your vision in your augmented reality headset.
In your movie theater.
In your fake movie theater of your imagination. Exactly. You're living in squalor and around you it looks beautiful.
It's hard to believe that you're married to the Tomb Raider.
I am definitely married to the Tomb Raider. She has definitely absolutely vanquished all of my foes for me. That's awesome. Thank you, honey. There's a lot of automobiles that we were presented in the Consumer Electronics Show. When I went 5 years ago, that was really the beginning of the Consumer Electronics Show, really focusing on the automobile and how we can interact with the entertainment systems in those automobiles. This year, a lot of focus on automated self-driving cars and the future of that and the integration of all of these AI into the cars. Nissan says that their Leaf automobile is ready for self-driving in 3 years.
We have a few Leafs in our neighborhood.
Yeah, you said that.
When I go for a walk, I walk by a couple of them. And, we're not in, you know, any place we are, you have to drive 20 miles to it. So my point being is that that is always interesting. Leafs are definitely an electronic vehicle.
And range is your hang up with the electric vehicles.
Sure. And that's because we have to drive a little bit more out here in the burbs. But my point being is that we have Leafs out here. We have a lot of Priuses too. But Priuses are hybrid.
Yep. Nissan says that they are going to have a self-driving Nissan Leaf in 2020, just like they promised a couple years ago when we first talked about this.
They'll be able to see that in 2020.
There you go. And then when we look back on 2020, hindsight will be...
2020.
Right. I'm morally safer. No, that's 60 minutes. That's not 2020. Hulu is going to get my money in 2017. They have finally come to an agreement with CBS to get CBS's broadcast, both live and on demand. All of CBS's shows will be on Hulu sometime in 2017.
All right, so CBS held out forever.
Has been holding out for a long time.
And so the only way to watch it would be to go through their app.
Which I have been paying them $9.99 for access to their programming because their program, they're America's number one network. And so they...
That's what they like to tell us.
Well, that's what the numbers tell us. And they have felt that they didn't have to give us anything. We would go to them. Mm-hmm. And boy, they were right. I gave them $9.99 for months now to get their programming. But if they can integrate that programming into Hulu, Hulu is my network now.
Well, what's really interesting about this is that CBS was just setting themselves up to have the Star Trek show.
Discovery.
Yeah, to show up on their app. Their app, very similar how the BBC was looking at Doctor Who as being the anchor. Mm-hmm. Star Trek was going to be the anchor for the CBS app.
Right.
Well, that seems to be falling apart.
Something bad is happening to that program. Yeah.
They keep pushing it back.
Uh-huh. They keep losing key people.
And I'm wondering if this CBS-Hulu connection is a result of just failing to get that thing to launch.
It is very, very
in more
possible.
The ways than one.
I got a Star Trek joke. It is very possible that that's what we're seeing here. It's also very possible that they're finally just bending to... This is where we're going for... It's where I'm going for television.
Well,
Hulu is where I go.
If you were looking for television network that broadcast... Mm-hmm. Hulu is the way to go for that. Mm-hmm. If you were looking for original content, you've got HBO and you have Netflix and you've got a few others, mm-hmm. and then everything else is kind of when I say secondary, it truly is.
Yeah.
You have the big two I would say right now, or big three, and then whatever it is.
And everything else. There's so many niche pieces of that
Crackle
out there.
And
Crunchyroll.
Yeah.
There's so many niche pieces out there, and you could certainly give them your $9.99.
Sure.
But boy, for my $9.99, Hulu has what I'm looking for, that's for sure.
Well, there you go.
There you go. That's 2017 in a nutshell. Look at me, I'm 2017 in a nutshell.
We've survived.
I think we could. What do you think, Chip? Do you think we can survive another week?
Only if we can come back next week.
I think we can. If you need more information, there's so many.
And Lemony Snicket says that maybe we can come back. Particularly if we wanted to have a better time, we could find something else to do.
And by survive, here I mean we can make it for another week of podcasting. I love that part of Lemony Snicket when he throws in the definitions. If you need more information, and by information here I mean more data about your life, you can give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can find all the news that you need on our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
We'll see you in the future.